Welcome. It's SV Pod. Stand for Steve. I'm Scott Van Pelt. Good to be with you as March arrives. And boy, over the weekend, Steve, let me give you a little Sports Center tease. We have a little early March Madness in February. Huh? It's a little bit of a little pet peeve of mine. It's just lazy. Anytime something happens, it doesn't have to be March Madness. It could just be six teams went on the road and lost. And outside of Colorado, who beat Arizona, every single one of them is a tournament team. Gonzaga lost to St. Mary's. St. Mary's is ranked. They're going to the tournament. Auburn lost to Tennessee. They're ranked. They're going to the tournament. Purdue lost to Michigan State, who had been ranked. They needed that for the tournament. They got it. Kansas loses to Baylor. Again, ranked, going to the tournament, reigning champions, winning culture. Kentucky lost at Arkansas. Arkansas was favored. They're ranked. They're going to the tournament. You know, the Colorado one's kind of the one outlier, but they were a tournament team a year ago. Arizona was bound to have a game on the road at some point. And Steve, you've talked forever about that Pac-12 road trip, that mountain road trip, Utah, Colorado.
The worst.
It ain't easy.
No.
But I tell you what, it did. I mean, I can joke about March Madness. It was a fun headline Saturday. I mean, it's an incredible day of basketball. And I think, and I just want to know where you land with this, as much as anything, what Saturday says to me is next week will be absolute chaos. Mm-hmm. If you told me right now, and next week, by the way, if you're not a college basketball fan, is conference tournament week. And because you've got so many people, like we can't count. Big Ten has, I think, 27 teams. I'm not positive. Math is not our strength. But the tournaments start early. You'll have tournament, like literally today, there's the first conference tournament action. I want to say it's CCSU against
Fairleigh Dickinson, NEC.
There we go.
8-9 matchup.
From today until Selection Sunday, there will be conference tournament action of some sort every single day. And next week when the big boys go, Steve, if you told me St. John's won the Big East, I'd say, okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, it'd be an upset, but I mean, what the hell? Georgetown won it last year. Don't think they'll win it this year. You saw them live. You saw them live Sunday.
I did. It's a long road ahead for the Hoyas if they want to repeat as Big East champs in the tournament.
But my point is, pull it out of a hat. St. John's, Creighton, Xavier, they've hit a rough patch. Providence, Seton Hall, Villanova. I mean, Marquette. I mean, keep going. I'm saying the Big East is a crapshoot. I think the Big 12 is a crapshoot because it's loaded. I think the SEC is a crapshoot because it's loaded. The Big 10, good luck. Good luck telling me who's going to win that, even after the first couple of days when you pare it down to a manageable number. I mean, there's like seven or eight teams in the Big 10. If you told me any single one of them won it, I would not think that crazy things had to happen. And I felt like last Saturday is the representation of what we have. No truly dominant team and a whole lot of really good ones, which is something you've been saying going back to when you said 20 teams could win the whole thing.
Right here, February 1st, I wrote down 21 teams, Scott.
Steve, have you eliminated or added to the list?
I'm waiting for March 1st. March 1st, we will reassess the list. The problem is I think I have to add a couple teams.
Really?
Yeah. Originally, Providence, not on the list. Ooh. Originally, Arkansas, not on the list. Tennessee, not on the list. USC, Iowa State, and Texas and Boise State were the final teams. I wrote down, but they didn't make the list. But I think a couple of those teams are going to find their way onto the list because, as you said, and you talk about all the time, X team, I don't see them winning six games to win a national title. The problem is when I look at it, I don't see teams that are capable of playing six great games in a row. So that's why I make the pool bigger because I think the inconsistencies are going to come. Every team is flawed. We know that, but I mean, the seeding, it's your favorite thing I'm sure two Mondays from now, you will be yelling who seeded this tournament.
Well,
and that's what it comes down to me. And that's why I keep it open.
There are two teams this year that are going to be the most likely to be angry about the seeding. That was the year that Maryland won every close game, right? Yes. They had Mello Trimble. They won lots and lots of close games. Well, right now, the net ranking has Iowa ahead of Wisconsin. I like Iowa. Mm. I like watching them play. They're fun. I've said it many times. If they're down 15, I don't count them out. If they're up 15, I don't give them the win because they don't always guard you that enthusiastically. And they've got really good stuff and they've got a bunch of capable scorers. But in no world is Iowa supposed to be ranked ahead of Wisconsin. That's just asinine. And if you want to hold against Wisconsin how many close wins they have, and if you want to hold against Providence how many close wins they have at it. That's not my thing. I get predictive metrics. I understand all of what it's about. I do. Watch Providence play. They got dudes that figure out how to make winning plays. Now, this is where the math guys are going to roll their eyes at me and say, and I roll my eyes right back at you. Okay, buddy, watch Providence play. Bynum makes plays that matter. Durham makes plays that matter. Watson makes plays that matter. Horksel makes plays that matter. He got a haircut, the shooter. He had the man bun. Was it Horksel, right?
Yeah.
Did I get that wrong? I think I got it right.
Yeah.
Wisconsin's in the same boat. And I'm looking at Wisconsin's schedule. They, by the way, Providence beat Wisconsin. Wisconsin's beaten Houston. They've beaten St. Mary's. They've beaten Marquette. Then they've got road wins at Purdue, at Maryland, Snake Pit Sunday. No big deal. We'll talk about that. At Michigan State. They played Iowa and beat them somewhere in here, didn't they? When did they play Iowa? Am I inventing that? How's it possible that Wisconsin hasn't played Iowa? Oh, yeah, they played them and beat them by 9. I don't understand why we hold against teams that they win. Like, Johnny Davis is a great player.
Yeah.
They don't have a huge margin. Like, they don't beat people by 20. But when games are close, they largely win. Now, in a coin flip scenario in the tournament, you might not win it. And if you don't, then this is where the math guys and the analytic guys will go, aha. And I'm going to just point right back at you and go, it's a one-off, man. Yeah. This is what happens in this tournament. Because it's hard to win one game, much less 6 games. Really hard to do. So it bums me out for Wisconsin and Providence people the way it bummed me out for Maryland that year. That what you're basically saying is, hey, fellas, if you just lost a couple of these close ones, then the analytics would like you better. Well, how dumb is that? Huh?
Math,
and I'm a Ken Pom proponent.
Oh!
I've seen the light. I feel like the BPI, they tend to do a pretty good job of identifying the teams that you need to keep an eye on.
What about RPI? You used to love the RPI.
Wisconsin's 27 in Ken Pom. Iowa's 15. It doesn't matter that you lose games. All right. Whatever. So Wisconsin and Providence, you guys are going to end up on like a 4 line somewhere. You're going to just be looking around going, you got to be kidding me. But let me tell you what, don't be mad when you're on a line, because when you're not, March is a bummer. March is a bummer. I'll get to some Maryland thoughts over the weekend, because we had a really cool thing over the weekend there with Maryland. But you take stuff for granted, man. When you go to the, like, and I know Maryland fans, everybody wanted more March runs. So do I. Hopefully the next guy will take us on some March runs. But it's really difficult to win games in March. It's tough. Like Gary forever couldn't get out of that. Like, he'd get to the second weekend, but that was kind of that was the glass ceiling. Look what Pitt did the same. Pitt did that with Jamie Dixon. Pitt got sick of Jamie Dixon. Eh? How happy would you be right now to be a Sweet 16? But hold on. How happy would you be to make a tournament, Pittsburgh? Let's start with that. Let's talk about that. Coach Adazio, shout out. Like, think it, right? I mean, use Pitt as a measuring stick. They got sick of Jamie Dixon because they couldn't make a Final Four. It's really hard to do. And this year, it feels like it'll be hard, Steve, but this year, somebody might get lucky because one of these teams you're talking about on your list, maybe the teams that would be theoretically the toughest road opposite them, they stumble, right?
Yeah.
So how good's next week going to be?
Well, I've said it forever. Next week's my favorite basketball week of the year.
That's a hot take. Listen clearly. Not the tournament, not the big tournament.
No. Next conference week. Championship week. Because you have higher, the lower power five teams who have better talent than on average than the top mid-major teams have their last go at it. And we've seen some crazy things happen. I grew up going to the Big East tournament. I saw upsets. Now, did they make it all the way? No. But the excitement and seeing that possibility happen where those teams, you know, are 500 teams and they get hot for 3 days. And it's just great because you're like, can they do it again? Oh, tired legs. They've played 3 in 3 days. Now the one seed is playing. They're only their second game in 2 days. None of that stuff matters because it all just comes down to playing it out on the court. And when you look at it, okay, from noon Eastern to 3 in the morning, there are games everywhere. And that's why I like it better. March Madness, they do a decent job of mixing in the ones and the 16s around the 2s and 15s. But a lot more times than not, per game, you get so much more in championship week. And
I agree because nobody's out of their weight class. Nobody's out over their skis. Everybody's punching in the same weight class. And go ahead.
And what else you get in these? God, it took forever. But these lower tier conferences, you know, below or mid majors have adapted it where if they don't have enough to get a tournament site, they just play them at the higher seed home court. Yeah. And that builds awesome, awesome atmospheres.
Right, because you get these upsets when those teams in those lower level conferences go on the road and steal it. It's incredible because you talk about us against the world. It really is when it's your 12, 15, however many your trainers, maybe a row in the bleachers behind your bench, and that's it. In some gym with like 3,500 people that are ready to have a party, and then you ruin it. Those games are tremendous, but you're right. And this year, like we're saying, going back to last weekend and the upsets, which most of them were on paper, but not surprising. Any and all of these teams are capable of winning a game or two or three, or in some cases, maybe four. Somebody's going to have to get on a run. Georgetown did it last year. It feels almost inevitable that it will happen again.
Oral Roberts was a 15 seed last year and was that close to being in the Final Four.
And if you go back to the Ohio State game, there's no way the Buckeyes lose that game. No way.
No.
Washington was great for them last year. Just it all went wrong. And what did Oral have? They had Asemus, who's the leading scorer in the country, and they had the guy O'Banner, who's now playing for Texas Tech, another top 10 team who lost this week. But they lost at TCU, who is also a tournament team, coached by Jamie Dixon, who they got sick of at Pitt because they didn't enjoy where those tournaments ended, you know? So you got to be careful what you ask for, man. Got to be careful what you hope for in this thing.
Would you watch Gonzaga lose the other night to St. Mary's? I watched it. Incredible game. I don't know.
What are you saying? You're saying you don't believe Gonzaga?
I'm trying to compare them to last year's Gonzaga because that was my favorite Gonzaga or my thought of.
Well, they don't
my
have
best chance I thought few would have to win a national title.
Well, they don't have a Suggs.
Correct. And that's going back and everybody loves Holmgren and I get it. He's going to be crazy at the next level. And I don't know. I think I went to watch UConn in person yesterday, Scott. And when I watched them, Danny Hurley, we noted his antics on the court are not the best, but I will say this about them. They're not the most talented team. but they will play defense. They will pound you on the boards. And what I love about them is very rarely do they take a bad shot. Mm-hmm. And when I think about a team like this, and this is going down to the bottom of the list, and you know, when I start to get into 15, 18 teams that could win it, UConn is a team where when you start looking at rosters, when this tournament starts, that whole crew was together last year. And they thought they were going to make a run last year, and but they got happened? Embarrassed by Maryland. Embarrassed.
They couldn't make
that
a shot.
That stuff stays with you.
They couldn't make a shot against Maryland. Maryland's defense was awesome that night.
And I just think about things like that. There's a lot of, Houston lost a bunch, but they got to experience a taste of the Final Four. They're going to be revved up to go. Arizona's just been waiting for an opportunity to prove themselves in March. They have that. We touched on the Big Ten teams. Villanova's Villanova. Good luck if they're on your side. You could have fun with the five-out offense all day long.
They're not afraid of you. They're not afraid of the moment. They're built for it. That's another team. They don't take bad shots, and that's having a guy like Gillespie who's been around forever and make sure that you know they're going to get a look. You talk about Gonzaga, and I did watch him against St. Mary's, and like I get it, people hold Gonzaga's conference against him. I understand why, but like if you're still doing that, where you talk about them like they're some lesser than or because they're in the West, they played in two of the last four title games. Just stop, because you just don't have any idea what you're talking about. All right, that means they've won five games in a tournament where we're telling you just one's hard. Two's is an accomplishment. There's a reason why Sweet 16 people celebrate. All right. Five wins in two of the last four tournaments. So enough with that. Mm-hmm. Are they tested the way people in the Big Ten or the Big 12 or the SEC are tested? Of course they're not. No one's saying they are. But just don't do that thing. All right. St. Mary's is good. Mm-hmm. St. Mary's played a really good game, and Gonzaga looked just off to me. Mm-hmm. If you watch that game, Holmgren missed a bunch of little bunnies at the rim, and he was being challenged, and he weighs like 180 or something, and he's getting knocked around, and he just missed a few buckets, the kinds of buckets that are the difference between you're down seven and you're down five, right? And now all of a sudden you're down five and you hit a three, and now it's two and everything's different. They just could never get close, and that's all credit to St. Mary's. But I say they don't have a Suggs. Well, they also don't have a Kispert. They also don't have an AIE. All right. Like those guys were double digit scorers last year. And what the reason that I know I'm right when it comes to Gonzaga as what they are, and you're wrong if you want to minimize them, is because they can lose three guys like that and they get the number one player in the country in Holmgren. And they get players like a Bolton in a transfer portal. They get guys, they're an attractive global recruiting power. That's what Gonzaga is. But when I watched them the other night against St. Mary's, I thought, I've seen you guys look real scary when you beat the crap out of people you are admittedly a lot better than, but you're going to play people that are better than St. Mary's if you want to win a title. And what happened to them last year, they survived that epic with UCLA, and they got outmanned, emphasis on manned, by Baylor.
Yep.
Outmanned. And that's not an indictment of Gonzaga. That's praise for Baylor. The other night, Gonzaga, there's less to feel great about given who else is out there this year. And that's kind of how I walked away from it going, all right, I don't doubt you, but I'm not buying more stock of you than I am somebody else. To me, it's all, everyone's a scratch off ticket in this tournament.
Yeah.
Everyone. Before we move on, a couple things to mention. March is here. Get ready for the madness with Bald Men on Campus featuring College Game Day's three follically challenged hosts, Jay Billis, LaFonso Ellis, and Seth Greenberg. By the way, Bald Man on Campus was something I did on College Game Day on the football side, and then they just took it, and there's no compensation of any kind, which, fine, you guys do what you want. They've got full conference tournament and March Madness coverage. You can listen to Bald Man on Campus, again, something I invented and they stole, wherever you listen to podcasts, and check out First Draft with Mel Kiper Jr., Todd McShay, and Field Yates every Monday and Thursday. Guys are keeping tabs on the NFL Draft. Listen to First Draft wherever you get your podcasts, or watch the show on YouTube. And finally, watch NBA Today, 3 Eastern, noon Pacific on ESPN and the ESPN app, or listen to the show as a podcast. So I went down to Maryland this weekend.
Yeah, you did.
2002 title team was back in town. And you know, I've been thinking a lot about this after the fact. If you're somebody like Virginia, as much as Virginia people would, like Chris Long would get hives if he heard me saying this, athletically, we're way more alike than we're different. And what I mean by that is, been good some, but your trophy case was real thin. And then you got that one. And when you get one, and that's the only one, then it's just, it means everything. Mm-hmm. And I thought about this with Alabama, and I'm not making fun. I mean, hell, I'm not making fun of you. I'm just saying, I can't imagine what it would be like to be you. Remember the title? Which one? Oh, that was the other one. You mean the one that we won after the, no. We got one. And so it means the world to Maryland. And I went out on Sunday and we hosted a talk with the team for a smallish group. Probably might have been 750, 1,000 people. I don't know, 500. I'm not good at crowds. It's a decent sized group of people to listen to the conversation about the team. And it was interesting. Beforehand, the team was back in this back room, and then I went back to say hello, and then I left that room, and at the under four in the game against Ohio State, I came out to center court and I introduced the team. And my guy, Jimmy Patsos, is trying to get me to come out and take a picture with the team. And as I said to him, and as I said to the Gary, I said, I wasn't going to come back in that room and I wasn't going to stand with you guys on that floor because that room was for the team and that picture was for the team. And I cheer for the team. I deserve to be not... I'm happy to ask the questions and I'm honored to be the one doing it. But what I really saw, Steve, and it's something I admire that I know you're part of with your Stanford guys, is what that bond is. Like, you're part of a Rose Bowl team. These guys are part of a national championship team. And they told me about being out to dinner in downtown DC Saturday night. The whole crew's back.
Yeah.
Everybody talked. Everybody cried. And it's about what they did together. And it's about who they are as a group because of the guy next to them. Like Chris Wilcox, who was the lottery picks, like, man, I was no one without these guys. No one. And it's so real to see it up close. And I have such an appreciation that I got to see that up close. And I've seen it with you and your friends. Mm-hmm. And I just wonder, how do you explain to us? I mean, I played on teams, but I don't have that. I don't, mm-hmm. That thing you guys have is, you tell me, what is that?
Well, first off, this is totally different. I mean, you're talking about the only national champion in school history to the football team that went to a Rose Bowl for the first time in what was it, 20, 30 years? Jim Plunkett, I think. So it's totally different. But what I will say this, and what I see, and the passion that people have here and talking to the limited people that I have from that team. And this is what I talk about when you get into March, and I brought up UConn earlier. Think about that Maryland team. And I hate to bring it up, but the year before, okay, you blow a big lead in a Final Four semifinal,
22 point lead, 39-17.
All right. You blow that lead. I don't even take out who it was to.
No, because that mattered. That mattered to them, Steve.
All right. Two nights later, you see them cut down the nets for a national championship. Think about the conversations you have for basically 8 months before practice starts again. And just knowing personally, every guy, what we have to do to get back there. And then in basketball, it's a totally different world because it's a tournament format. So you can't stop. Like, when it's there, the road's right there. You can't get knocked off it because it's there at the end. It ain't moving. It's a matter of if you're going to maintain to be there. So I can't imagine what it was like in having that goal at the end and knowing they had the capability. Don't everybody came back, right? They lost what, one or two?
No, I mean, they had essentially everyone was back.
You know,
they lost a guy named Terrence Morris, who was a really good player.
Right. He was on that team.
He was a really good player.
Yeah.
But you had Juan Dixon and you had Steve Blake and you had Lonnie Baxter. And then Chris Wilcox emerged and became, a lottery pick. What they described and, the a singular focus and mm-hmm. and the shared sacrifice. Guys that sacrificed for somebody else. I mean, there was a guy who transferred in who said, "Look, I knew I was only going to get 2 to 5 minutes, but my thing was if I got two, I was trying to get five, mm-hmm. and if I got five, I was trying to figure out how to get five more minutes." And I mean, look, the stories they share, and you know, Drew Nicholas who hit a legendary shot for Maryland the next year in the tournament, which was against UNC Wilmington at the buzzer.
Yeah.
He told a great story about when they got back from winning the title, they got off the bus and there was like a brand new Hummer in the parking lot an Escalade, and Chris Wilcox went and got in it. And he's like, "Well, I guess he's not coming back." And you know, it was one of those things everybody knew, like, you'd love for him to stay, but
yeah,
hey man, you had a 3-week run. You cut down nets, give us our only title. You're here. I said to him yesterday, I was like, "My man, you gave us our one." You know, mm-hmm. And we all come to school to figure out what we're going to do. We all knew what you were going to go do was going to go be a pro. And, yeah. And again, I just think it was, and look, Ohio State's a tournament team. Maryland is not, unless they go and, you know, win the whole thing. Maryland ended up winning. And I was really happy for this team. Mm-hmm. And I got to talk to Fats Russell, a transfer this year, who's undersized, but plays with so much heart. And I was just so happy for them that they got to have a day like that, to be happy. But I got to tell you, this is the coolest thing about the whole thing, which is cool just to be part of and witness, is Gary Williams, you know, got up and I introduced him to like the crowd in the building. And he did the same thing on the floor that he did in the morning. This was his day with his team, right? It was his chance to flex on everybody. And yep. Like, this is what we did. And all Gary wanted to talk about was, "All of you that are students, all of you who've been students, everybody who's here, my team, this is what Maryland basketball is, and we're great, and we're going to be great." He didn't want to talk about what they did. He wanted to talk about what Maryland as a program can do, and that was moving to me, mm-hmm. because he'd earned the right, if he wanted to just, pardon the crass way to put it, but you could just kind of go Texas whip out.
Yeah,
here's our trophy. Thwap, lay it on the table. This is what we did. All right, see you later. But it wasn't that. It was,
oh, it's
like, kind of, we showed what we could do, but this is what Maryland can be. And I just, I admire that a guy in his 70s who climbed to the top of the mountain, who's in the Hall of Fame, whose name is on the court, whose legacy is unimpeachable, still has that kind of passion for what he wants it to still be. And I think that's, to me, that's at the core of athletics. It's not unique to Maryland. People that, you know, wherever you are, UConn has massive passion. The team you saw play this weekend, you could go all around the country in all kinds of different sports and you see it. But I just admire somebody who doesn't have to still be that invested that still is. And I just think about you, and I know I've seen you with your teammates, and I know how close you are with your teammates. And I just, I really admire that bond, because it seems like, and you're a great friend to your friends, but nobody is like what your teammates were, are they?
No, because you've seen guys at their worst and guys at their best. And in a world now where people are hiding everything on social media and only showing the good stuff or only showing the bad, like, there's that thing of going into ordeals together, waking up at 5 a.m. on a Saturday in the middle of winter and going to do winter workouts. Like, you're lining up, you're stretching across from your guy, like, "Yep, we're doing this," you know? And you get some laughs, or there's a meal planned afterwards that's everybody's thinking about. But you know that you put in what the other guy put in. And then when you are able to have something to celebrate, like a championship, or, I mean, I can't believe a national title. Like, it's the best. And that's what was really, really cool for me, because I'm always frustrated at our reunions when not everybody can make it. And to see those guys 20 years later and see how many guys came, that's what tells you a lot.
Every single person that could be there was there, outside of Dave Dickerson, who was an assistant on that team as a head coach at South Carolina Upstate. They had a game. Mm-hmm. Outside of that, every single person was there. And it's just, again, it's not unique to Maryland, but it's the only one I've ever seen like that up close, and to have lived it from the fan side of it, And now 20 years later, as the play-by-play guy from Maryland is by the guy by the name of Johnny Holiday. And his call was the kids have done it. And when I introduced him yesterday, I said, you know, those kids have kids of their own now. And they've had 20 years to think about what it is they gave each other and what they gave this this fan base. And that's what made it truly, really. And I thought clearly, I've thought a lot about it afterwards. Just I was grateful to be involved in some small way and witness that and just tell them thanks, you know, just because listen, I'm a realist. I'm optimistic. I'd love to think that someday you go on a run again. But if it never happens, it happened once and I was there when it did. And we remembered that yesterday, which was something.
Did they make you go to rehearsal for that on Saturday?
Rehearsal?
Yeah, emceeing the event. Did they make you just say, hey, I'm Scott, I got this?
I mean, they trust me. They trust me. Like, we're all right. I mean, I knew the assignment.
I've been there before.
Yeah, I know the assignment. We'll see you guys Sunday. I want to make a hard left turn from tournament talk and the feel good deal of the weekend. I have to ask you a question about this baseball thing.
Okay.
Passan's article, we're talking Monday. I mean, this could be dated. I mean, hell, yeah. They might be able to fix it. I'm not optimistic. I say I'm optimistic. I'm also realistic. I mean, I don't see some accord happening here quickly. I don't care, Steve. I don't care.
At all.
None. Now, this is where I have to be honest with the listener and with myself first and foremost. If the team that I rooted for, grew up rooting for, and still root for to this day, if the team that I root for isn't 110 losses every year, do I feel the same? Almost certainly not. But we don't get to choose who we root for in life. I mean, we do at some point, but then as an adult, I believe you have an obligation to stay true to that. You don't just get to wake up one day and say, hey, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to root for them. I'm going to root for the Rays now. They got a spunky outfit down there. It's not how it works. You're stuck with it. I'm stuck with the Orioles, and they are not competitive and haven't been for the last few years. Mm-hmm. So does that bleed into how I feel? Almost certainly it does. Because when you play, when you play 162 games and you root for a team that lost 115 of them, like, what am I supposed to do? You know, there's no sense in investing any emotional equity in the next 6 months. Why would I? That's hard. And that's part of baseball's problem, because there's no problem with that. And the Orioles have drafted a bunch of talented guys. I see the minor league teams tweeting their names out all the time. Bring them up. No, I can't do that because you don't want service. Don't want to start having to pay them. Don't want the clock on that to happen. And this, I don't want this to turn into boring, like, labor negotiations. And do you root for the owners versus the players? I just don't care. And I'm being honest about that. And I just wonder, as somebody, you're a baseball fan, and I appreciate that about you. You watch the Mets. You grind pretty hard over the Mets, which I observe that. And I just wonder your level of care / concern over this baseball conversation.
I'll tell you, as you start talking, you're talking about, I mean, we had our meeting earlier today and you're talking about your Orioles take. Like, yeah, I live and die with the Mets every single day. But I'll tell you what, I'm not going to miss fretting over the losses, because there's a hell of a lot more tough losses than the good wins. And the success obviously hasn't been great. There was optimism with making some deals and getting some new guys, and seeing Scherzer in a Mets uniform would be awesome. But I mean, I don't know how you can have two sides that are supposed to agree on something that are this far away when you read stuff. And it's like, you ask yourself, or I ask myself, do they care?
They seem not to, particularly, you know, the owners.
I hate using the word perception, but that's what I think when I look at it.
Imagine a business where there's no consequence for putting out a terrible product. and still making millions of dollars. And I've seen conversations back and forth about, well, I mean, people try to cook the books, and Passan got into a little back and forth with, on Twitter about that with a Marlins guy, whatever. I'm just, what, name a business where you can just suck for years on end and still make millions of dollars. There's no penalty. Like if you had the worst restaurant in Baltimore and you just serve on a plate, hey, you want to go down there and get the turd on a plate? No, not really. I don't. Well, I'm going to. No, not me. I'm going to go down the ocean. On, I mean, there's no consequence.
No.
You're still printing money. And so I'm over here, remember in the old days, listening to radio, listening to Chuck Thompson or John Miller and watching Jim Palmer out there going to Memorial Stadium. I couldn't have loved that team more.
Mm.
So, I mean, I take no joy in sitting here shrugging and just telling you the truth. I don't care. And guess what? It doesn't matter if they stink. They're still going to print money. And so I just can't even pretend for this to bother me because it doesn't. On the other hand, there's the Rays, and they don't spend a ton of dough either, and they've got it figured out. I admire that.
Mm.
I mean, because, well, listen, part of the hopelessness is you're on this, you live on the same street as the Red Sox and the Yankees, who are just spending money hand over fist to be competitive. Toronto does, and then Tampa Bay is really good, and they don't. It's just depressing. But then the other is, and I don't know that it's not specific to Baltimore. Just it's just the amount of money that gets made, and it doesn't matter what kind of product you put on the field, and teams don't spend, and I don't care.
I totally see where you're coming from.
That makes me a bad guy. I'm just telling you the truth.
I don't think you're a bad guy.
I thanks, pal. I want someday for them to be good again. I would love for them to be, because I miss caring. Watching games in the fall and watching games in the playoffs, the tension of that and the drama of baseball is awesome. And we all grew up with it, and I'm nostalgic for it. I've said this a million times. We're going to games with my dad. I mean, all of that stuff. Love it. Love every bit of it. But right now, today, as Jeff's talking about what's going on and Manfred and these guys, I'm like, you guys deserve each other, and I don't care. None. I'm very thankful for the job I have. I enjoy what I do. I wish, Steve, that I just would have coached football or played it, because then I could get paid $20 million to talk about it on a game that people are going to watch regardless of who's broadcasting it. I mean, it's incredible. And by the way, I have friends that do this, and I'm psyched for all of them. We were out that Rayo's dinner out in Los Angeles. Troy was there. He's awesome. I'm psyched that he's on our team. It's tricky because, I mean, I'm friendly with the guys that are in the booth for us. And, you know, that's that part of our business is really difficult.
It sucks.
Thank you.
It really does, man, because – and I don't know how – like – it sucks, man. Like this is the problem. It's happened to a lot. I mean, you've worked here longer than I have, and it's really, really hard because, you know, nobody can ignore anything now that's set out there. Everybody knows the guys that have information. And when that thing comes out, it's like, yeah. I think about the guys on the other side that are getting pushed out. And, you know, well, I look at those people. I just, you know, hey, you know, I don't want to sound like somebody passed away or anything, but I'm just like, hey, you know,
no, it's difficult. It's difficult. Cause like I can joke about, I'm joking about wanting more money. I don't want more money. I just, it's a fascinating part of our business. And on the one hand you go, wow, that's really cool. You get Troy. And then immediately, obviously I'm friends with the guys in that booth.
Yeah.
But I'll be honest here. Like Mike Tirico is a good friend. And he's obviously with NBC. And guess what would happen if Mike Tirico came back here tomorrow? I wouldn't be in the Butler cabin on Thursday or Friday at the Masters. I just wouldn't. And that would be a bummer. You know, I wouldn't have done anything wrong. It's just Mike would be back and then Mike would sit in that chair. And that is the part of this business that is difficult, because I get that people don't see us as people to a degree, because what we do, I mean, you said it well. None of this is someone being ill or dying. I mean,
it's just
jobs, and people got contracts and they're going to get paid. But it's like you get a gig, one of those true landmark gigs, And then I never know from a consumer's perspective, like how many more people are watching because anyone's broadcasting these games. Like I just, and I happen to, guess what? I like all the crews, but I don't care. I don't care if it's you and, you know, whoever on the broadcast. I don't care if it's, I turn the sound off half the time just to watch the action. Doesn't matter to me. But man, if me and you, how about this, Steve? We're going to rebrand ourselves and you do play-by-play and I'll do, I'll do play-by-play, even though I don't know how to do it. And you do color because you're the guy. And we'll get like, let's get like 10 million a man each. Is that enough?
I think so. I think that could work.
We could scrape it together with 10 each. And by the way, that's a bargain. Huh? These are bargain prices we're offering up.
I don't click this link to hear Steven Scott.
I don't know, Steve. 3rd and 6. And you just tell it.
You would have to bring back do your summer all.
House of Buggin. Coming up on House of Buggin. He was great. Like
he the best because he didn't less say is like more, he just let less it
is
breathe.
More. Less is more. None is the best.
3rd and 1. Lawrence Taylor.
Levens. What? Levens? That's all he would say. Dorsey Levens would score a touchdown. He would go, touchdown.
Levens.
House of Buggin.
Murder, She Wrote.
I just like doing House of Buggin because it's more
obscure. That was the end. That was the Cotton Bowl he did.
It's more obscure.
Oh.
All right. Wait. Oh, I have to tell you something.
Uh-oh.
You're going to be so pissed. Mm. Guess where I'm going to be on Saturday?
You're going to Cameron Indoor Stadium.
I am.
Oh.
I am.
Oh, good for you.
Pay good respects. For you. Pay respects.
Absolutely.
Pay respects. I mean, it's there aren't many legendary things in sports. That guy's legendary. That building's legendary. And you just go and tip your cap.
That's awesome. Because I've been getting ripped to shreds in the state of Virginia after going over there for a game.
I'm just going as a citizen. What about this? What if I go head to toe Dirty Terps gear? Can you imagine? I walk in like in a suit and just do the Jay Williams. I just rip it open and we got the 2002 title shirt underneath.
That wouldn't be good.
Hey, I think Maryland folks are known for their class and decorum. And that's what I intend to display. This was a very late ad.
Mm.
Got a good phone call from a good friend.
I bet you did.
In the private aviation space.
You know, I know people are going to get mad because the promos have already started, but like, I mean, that's all I like that building and him, like, that's all I Saturday, I'm just like, I know where I'll be locked in. That's going to be different, man.
What time is that game?
6.
All right.
Okay. We'll see, you can fly back and I'll see you get back here for last call.
There you go.
Rehash the game.
I'll bring you a pennant. a little Duke. Come on, Duke. I'll bring you one.
Matt, and then somebody would get a picture of you holding the Duke pennant, and then it'll be on the Maryland Mass message boards.
Oh, they already got mad at me last week. God, my God, take the joke, people. We all want the same thing. We all want the best coach we can get. And let's hope we get one. And let's support whoever it is. Coach Williams set the table on Sunday.
Mm.
You know, he's the guy saying, let's all pull the rope in the same direction. So anyway, that's all I got. You got anything else?
Another tough L for the Icebergs.
And by the way, we called them the Icebreakers, but actually.
No, I did. I got it wrong. And then.
All right. Well, this needs to be a weekly.
Parents were listening to the pod.
Thanks, everyone.
So I got yelled at and I said, hey, win a game and then we'll get your name right. How about that?
How about it's your daughter and let's support them? Icebergs took the L. What was the final?
11-7. Tough one.
How's the rebounding going for your daughter?
Good. Good.
There you go.
Better on the boards. We just can't put the ball in the basket.
Well, that's the next step, right?
Smell getting better. That's all. Look,
one brick on top of the other. And
there you go.
And that's how we build. That's how the Icebergs build towards a W. All right. Good times. Good talk. We'll see you in Durham on Saturday. See you next week.